Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And the title of the message this morning is Prayers by and for Mothers. Prayers by and for Mothers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 is our text. And I'd like to begin with this challenge. One of the greatest gifts that a mother can give to her children, of whatever age they are, and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren, is this: prayer. Maybe you say, well, I really wish that when I pass, I could leave $1 million to all my kids, but I can't do that. I'd like to submit to you, you could leave something better. The legacy of prayer, the legacy of teaching your children the way of salvation, of teaching them the eternal, priceless Word of God. What a treasure. Prayer. Well, what should you pray? Well, we'll find out today from God's Word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the gift of motherhood. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you create and that only you are to take. We thank you, Lord, for the many hours of sacrificial service and love that mothers have given to their children and to their grandchildren. And Lord, I pray that you will encourage every mom today that's present here, that hears these words. But Lord, encourage us all. And as the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, we pray that today. Teach us to pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. There is an interesting grammatical point in the New Testament language, New Testament Greek. It's a mood, a grammatical mood. Now, without getting into too many details, the indicative mood states a reality. The imperative mood is the mood of command. So we have words that are commands. Go, pray, witness, commands, imperative mood. And then there's a mood called the optative. And the optative can express a wish, a desire. And the least number of cases in the New Testament are in this mood, but several of them have this idea of may the Lord do something. It's asking the Lord, expressing the Lord to do a particular thing. It's expressing a desire that we want God to do something. And they form wonderful prayers. And the Apostle Paul must have loved the optative. We have several prayers that are suggested to us in the Scriptures. And so we're going to look at some of them today. Let's start with this text, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. And you'll note this word that occurs, may. 1 Thessalonians 3, 11. Now may our God and Father himself in our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So this prayer language should inform us on how we are to address God and take our needs to him. It's very fitting for mothers. Here are prayer requests to pray for your children. But here are prayer requests for every believer to pray. So let's go back now to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5. And we'll find our first prayer request here. And mind you, for husbands, for fathers, for children, these are great prayer requests to pray for your mother. Romans 15, 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant to you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is prayer for unity to glorify God. This is a great prayer of a mother for her children, for her family, for unity. Now, I don't know if this ever happened in your home, but it happened in ours. I remember at times when kids were little, I said, can you just be kind to each other? Did that ever happen in your house? Can you all just be kind to each other? Because you're not kind, you're not unified. What a prayer request, that we may have unity. And what's the purpose of this unity? That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. It's all about bringing glory to God. So here's a prayer for a mom, for her children, for her family, that we would be unified, that we could bring glory to God. And notice Paul is asking the God of patience, the God of endurance, the God of encouragement or comfort to grant this request, that you would be like-minded toward one another. A great prayer request by a mom for her family, a great prayer request by children for their mom, for their parents, that there would be unity and that they would glorify God. God left us here on this earth for a purpose. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, why did God not just take you to heaven right then? He left you here. Why? To glorify Him. And one of the ways that He's glorified among His people is when there's unity. What a prayer, a powerful prayer. Same chapter, look at verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a prayer. The prayer for filling with joy and peace and hope. Isn't that what you want for your kids, moms? That they would be filled with joy and peace and hope? And how does that come? It's right here in believing. Children can have joy. They can have peace, they can have hope when they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. And the prayer request till your last breath for any unsaved child or grandchild is that they would come to know Christ, that they would believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day. And through that, they would have an unusual joy. They would have peace with God and peace amongst themselves. And they would have hope, confident expectation. Notice the last part of the verse. Now may the God of hope, God specializes in hope, fill you with these things. Why? That you may abound in hope. There is so much hopelessness today. We hear these horrible things about the number of suicides that take place in our world, the number of suicides during and after COVID. Why? Because of hopelessness. Where is hope? It is in Jesus Christ. Hope is in the Scriptures. He is the God of hope. He specializes in giving a reason to get up tomorrow. He specializes in giving confidence to face the future. He's the God of hope. And He says, I want you to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not a self-help program. It's not human psychology. It's the work of the Holy Spirit based on the Scriptures, based on the Word of God. What a powerful prayer. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Let's see another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And moms, when kids of whatever age come to you and they pour out their troubles to you, because there's no one quite like mother to understand these troubles, when they come to you and do that, point them to the hope that is in Christ. Point them to the salvation that is in Jesus. Point them to the hope that is in the Scriptures. There is comfort and hope there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, our text. Let me back up to verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God? Paul loved the Thessalonians. They were very special to him. In verse 10, he says, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. You see, the Thessalonians had genuine salvation. They were transformed by the gospel. Go back a page or two in your Bible to chapter 1. Notice what Paul says in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Notice this, verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry, that is, what kind of ministry we had to you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. These people had genuine salvation. There was change in their lives. They turned from idols and they turned to Christ. They were not the same as before professing faith in Christ. They were new in Christ. That's what genuine salvation does. It changes us. And he said, you all are waiting for Jesus to come back from heaven. You're longing to see him. God raised him from the dead. He ascended. He's coming back. You're waiting for him. Now look at chapter 3, verse 11. And Paul prays, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. He wanted to see them again. Bible students think that Paul only was in Thessalonica about 3 weeks. And God did a remarkable thing. There was a revival there, and these people were saved, genuinely saved, turned to God from idols. He wanted to see them again. He wanted to see them grow and go forward in the Christian faith. So here is prayer for guidance, for life and ministry. May the Lord direct our way to you. We want to see you soon. Prayer for guidance and direction. And what a great prayer for moms to pray for their children, that they would be guided by the Lord and directed by the Lord. There is nothing wrong with the job of being a ditch digger, but it might be viewed as on the lowly end of occupations or professions. But I remember my mom stating things like this: I would rather you be a ditch digger for the glory of God and love God than to have all the wealth of the world. Guidance for life and ministry. Nothing wrong with great aspirations unless they take us away from God. Nothing wrong with wanting to improve ourselves. I'm all for it and all for the education that we can have, but let's point people to the Scriptures and to God and to salvation. What a prayer for our children, they would be guided in the paths of godliness. So what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Wise in the eyes of men and a fool in the eyes of God. Prayer for guidance, for life and ministry. Paul says, I want to see you. May the Lord direct our way to you. And then the next one follows, verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. and to all, just as we do to you. And he gives us a purpose. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So here's a great prayer request, a prayer for overflowing love. May the Lord make you increase. May the Lord make you abound. Increase more in love to one another. What a prayer request by a mom for her children, for spiritual children. What a prayer request of a child for parents and for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would overflow with love. And Paul says, that's how we love you all. We love you, Thessalonians. You have genuine faith. And here's why I'm praying that. So that he may plant your hearts, establish your hearts to be what? Blameless in holiness before our God and Father when Jesus comes back. I can't think of a more awesome moment than when the Lord Jesus Christ will return and we will stand before him. Can you imagine that? The one that died on the cross for us. I can't think of a more challenging, convicting moment than to face Jesus, who shed his blood for our salvation. And so, in the meantime, I need to have overflowing love for those under my spiritual watch care, for an ungodly, unbelieving world. They need the love of Christ shown to them so that my heart is steadfast and strong when Jesus comes back and it's abiding and living in holiness. Don't misunderstand this word holiness. Don't think it's a put-offish thing because you knew someone who claimed to be holy and they just looked down at you, or they had this false sense of piety and they themselves were hypocritical. Don't mistake it for that. Holiness is what God is. And holiness is what he wants of us. He wants us to be apart from sin and set apart to him. You say, this is 2023. All the more need for holiness. In our world, our culture has no use for it. But God says, be holy as I am holy. That's his standard. That's what he wants. And if I love him as I should and demonstrate that love to others, I can then stand in holiness and blamelessness when Jesus Christ comes back. What an amazing prayer for overflowing love toward others. How about this? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. But let me start with verse 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify. Now may the God of peace sanctify. What does that mean? Make you holy. Set you apart as holy. Cause you to grow in holiness. May he sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then what encouragement? He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Paul's prayer here is for their sanctification, that God would make you holy, sanctify you, and that your spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless when the Lord Jesus comes back. God wants us to grow in holiness. I love this illustration. I've used it before, but it, to me, pictures so well the process of sanctification. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Father, as holy and awesome judge, pronounces you justified. It's just as if you'd never sinned. You have a right standing before God. That's justification. And then after that, we grow in sanctification. It's the process where we become step by step more and more like Jesus. We become holy step by step. And here's the illustration. I remember it so well. I remember with our firstborn son, I had a little office in the house where we were living, and my wife brought him in and put down a blanket and put the baby on the blanket because he couldn't crawl. But I looked, and he wasn't on this side of the blanket. He was on that side of the blanket. Somehow he got there. And then I noticed one day that he got up on all fours. And it was kind of like, something's supposed to happen here. I'll figure it out one day. He's on all fours. And one day I saw him sort of like rocking on all fours. Like, something's supposed to work. Where's the button I push to make it go forward? And then one day, he got it together, and he started crawling. You know, it's amazing. This is just universal, I think. Recently, my daughter sent a picture of our grandbaby, and what had she done? She had pulled up. She was standing up. Wow. And, you know, it's like it's a great event. You have a party. You know, they stand up for the first time. They crawl for the first time. Well, then he started crawling, and then exactly goes over, pulls up. Might be your leg, might be a stranger's leg, might be the table leg, pulls up. And one day he says, something else should happen here. Takes a step, boom, down. Get back up, pull up, another step, boom. Two steps, boom. Three steps, boom. And then walking all around, then running. And the parents spend the rest of their life trying to catch them. That process pictures sanctification. We come to know Christ. Yes, we begin to grow. There's movement. We take a step. We fall. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get up. We take two steps. We may fall again. We take three steps. We're learning. We're making progress. We're becoming more and more like Christ. Now, there's a teaching that says, no, it's instantaneous. You're sanctified instantaneously. You're now on this higher level of superior spirituality. And sometimes they say, well, that can be accompanied by certain spiritual gifts. And then you've attained. That's a false sense of sanctification because it's a battle. It's a struggle. It's a walk. But we're growing more and more like Christ. And that's what Paul is praying for here. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. And I want your whole spirit, soul, and body, the entirety of your person, to be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not based on human strength. He says, faithful is He who called you. He will do it. I cannot do this in myself. It's in God's strength, and He is faithful. And is it so humble what Paul says in verse 25, 1 Thessalonians 5:25? Brethren, pray for us. Here's the great apostle Paul. He says, we need prayer. God is faithful. He can sanctify you. It's an amazing prayer for sanctification and preservation, but it's based on God's faithfulness, and we all need to encourage one another in this. How is your walk? I remember one year we were driving from Texas to New York on a mission trip, and a young lady in the back of the van said, Pastor Woody, could you tell us what the Lord has been teaching you lately? What's the Lord been doing in your life lately? That is a great question. That's an encouragement to growth in holiness. What's God doing in your life? That's a great thing to ask others. How can I pray for you? How is the Lord at work in your life? What is the Lord teaching you these days? Those are great questions to encourage each other in the sanctification process. And you know, I think we need to be honest when we say, you know, I've taken a few steps and I fell. Or I tripped, I was running and I tripped, and I need prayer, I need encouragement, I need help. That's a good thing, and we need to share that with one another. Notice 2 Thessalonians now, chapter 2. And here is another prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts. So the may is in verse 16, and we get to the punchline in verse 17. May the Lord comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. May the Lord comfort you. Comfort. It's a prayer for comfort. It's a special word. I love this word, parakaleo. It means to call alongside. It's used to encourage. It's used to convict. One who is called alongside to our aid. It's the picture of a coach. It's someone who encourages someone else. It's a dear prayer partner who takes your burdens to the Lord with you. And he says, may our Lord Jesus and our Father comfort your hearts. He is called alongside to comfort you, to help you. Not only that, and establish you or strengthen you. So here's a prayer for comfort and strength. Listen, I believe in praying for our physical needs. Thank God. I'm so grateful for all the prayers that have ascended to the Lord on behalf of my physical needs over the last year or two. And that's a blessing. Thank God for that. What a privilege we have to talk to God about our physical needs. But I'm convinced this, we need to do praying for spiritual needs too. Spiritual comfort and strength. We need to pray for our children and our youth that they would be strong. Strong in the Lord, that they would be encouraged, they would be coached along by Him, that their hearts would be strengthened knowing there is one called alongside. And they would be strengthened. Notice what it says here. Established or strengthened in every good word and work. We are not saved by good works. We're saved by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Crystal clear. Salvation is not by works, it's by grace. It's not by working at it. It's by believing the finished work of Christ. But when we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, He then wants us to do good works. For we are His workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And this prayer is for comfort and strength, that we would be able to perform those good works and those good words. How powerful are good words. There's a book called Encouragement, The Key to Carrying. And in it, it talks about death words and life words. God's people need to speak life words. Moms need to speak life words to their children. I distinctly remember being at 245 Oak Lake Court, Martinez, Georgia, in the garage, and my mom was visiting us. I think it was on the occasion of the birth of our fourth child. And we were doing something in the yard or in the garage, cleaning up or something. And she said something to me. And here I'm a grown man. I'm a father. She said, son, you're doing a good job with these kids. What a short statement. I still remember it. Those were life words. Life words. And yet, kids can remember words where mom or dad cut them down, put them down. May God take those words out of our vocabularies. Instead, we build up, we strengthen one another in the body of Christ and in the family. Words of comfort and strength, words that give us such life and energy that we want to take the next step in the next good work for Jesus. We want to say the next good word. We were in Augusta, Georgia, or that area. It's home of Fort Gordon, the U.S. Army headquarters of the Signal Corps in a big Army hospital. And when we lived there, there was an Army chaplain in our church. Ron Benzing was one of them. There was another one later. And these men encouraged me as a pastor toward physical training, toward running. I thought Ron Benzing was going to kill me when he first took me out on a run. Let's just go for a little run here. I thought he was going to kill me, but I made it a mile, and maybe that was it the first time. But we began to build up for running, and then this brother was in our church, and he said, "Hey, there's a race at Fort Gordon, a 10K race. You know how much that is? That's 6.2 miles. He said, "Why don't we do that race together?" And so we joined the race at Fort Gordon. Here I am, a civilian pastor, and these soldiers, you know, these trained soldiers, and we're running this race. And I remember at the 4 mile point, there was a hill. I'm convinced that hill was like this, straight up. Not really. I know it was like this. Oh, it was tough. And I remember a couple of things. One is, I wish I could do this today, but I don't think I can. Maybe in time. I was still going up the hill. And I even passed some of the soldiers, and that made me feel good. But here's what I remember, and this is the point. A soldier came by, and they were running in units, and so he had the flag of their unit. And he looked over his shoulder, and he said, "Come on, boys, we're going home." I still remember that. Those were life words. We're going to make it up this hill. We're going to make it to the 6 mile point. We're going home. Let's finish. Take another step. Keep going. And parents, our kids need that. They need life words to keep going, to take another step. And children and youth, your mom and dad need that too. Try it. Maybe you need the smelling salts handy when you try it, but encourage your mom and dad. Thank them. Run up to your mom. Give her a big hug and thank her for all she has done for you. It will bless you. We need strong words to encourage. Now look at chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. A prayer for comfort and strength. And now a prayer for direction into love. That's a recurring theme. And perseverance. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. Did we hear that before? Who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Direction for love. What a prayer for a mother to her children, that you would love God and that you would wait and tenderly persevere for the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God and the patience, the endurance of Christ. What prayer request? I want you to love the Lord more. I'm asking God that your heart will be opened up, that you would love the Lord more. These are very powerful prayer requests and very convicting. And this is what we should pray for one another in the body of Christ, that we would love Jesus more, that we would persevere, that we would show forth the patience of Christ. Prayer for that direction, you would be pointed that way. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. What a prayer that you would have peace. It reminds me of Philippians chapter 4, where we're told to rejoice in the Lord, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard our hearts and minds. We have a troubled world all around us. What a prayer request that we would have peace in our hearts. You know who loves chaos and disruption and trouble and disunity and guilt and shame and all kinds of chaotic things? it's the devil. He is the author of confusion, but God is the author of peace. And here's a prayer request that you would have peace always and in every way. And mothers, you know how much you need peace when you're troubled. There was a godly lady of the past, I believe it was Susanna Wesley, John Wesley's mother. And she found peace by throwing an apron over her head to pray because there was so much going on with all her children. But she found peace that way. It's a great picture. A prayer for peace. And if you got to throw your apron over your head to find that peace and call out to the Lord, say, Lord, help me. I'm bringing my requests to you. You can handle them. Then do it. And then go to the next book, two more books, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16 and 1:18. Two verses, same request. The Lord grant mercy. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, that's where Paul was. Paul was in Rome in prison. He sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him, or may the Lord grant to him, that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. A prayer for mercy. The Lord grant to Onesiphorus and his household mercy in that day when Jesus comes back, because he has faithfully ministered to me. A prayer for mercy. God, will you show my children your mercy and your grace? Will you show them that there's mercy in Jesus? Will you point them to the mercy that Jesus can give even when there's failure? Point them to the mercy that is at the cross of Christ and have mercy on them that they may stand in confidence before you when you come back. Very powerful prayer requests. Let me review them. A prayer for unity to glorify God. A prayer for filling with joy, peace, and hope. A prayer for guidance for life and ministry. A prayer for overflowing love. A prayer for sanctification and perseverance. A prayer for comfort and strength because we're going home. To be strong in every good word and work. A prayer for direction into love and perseverance. A prayer for peace and a prayer for mercy. These prayers, moms, should be made by you and hopefully for you. And these prayers for all of us as people of God come into us strong spiritual direction. And here's a powerful prayer. Regarding mercy, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? We pray then for God's mercy to be known to you, that you would understand that Jesus died for you and he rose again. You can't save yourself, but you call out to him and he will save you by his mercy and grace. That's our prayer for you if you've not yet trusted Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we pray for comfort, for strength, for overflowing love. I pray, Lord, that you will direct our hearts into the love of God. I pray, Lord, for the perseverance of your people to follow after you, to be faithful until Jesus comes back. Lord, will you grant all of these prayer requests to us? I pray that you will put the burden upon not only mothers, but fathers and children, youth, that we would pray for one another these very powerful requests. I pray these things, Lord, for East End Baptist Church. I pray for the next generation that we would be able to teach them to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that they would know your peace through the forgiveness of sins. They would know your mercy. Having called in the name of the Lord to be saved. Oh God, stir our hearts to be people of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anyone who would say, I know that I need Christ as my Savior. I realize that I have sinned before God, but I believe that Jesus died for me and that He rose again. And today, I'm asking Jesus to save me. And that's what's going on in your heart. You understand it, maybe for the first time. Would you just slip up your hand? Say, yes, I understand, and I'm asking Jesus to save me, forgive my sins, give me eternal life. Our Father, You know our hearts. You know our burdens. I pray, Lord, for any mom who's here today who's burdened. You know what that concern is. I pray that she would take it to You and that You would give her Your help, Your peace, Your mercy. I pray, Lord, for any child of whatever age who's burdened, who knows Jesus, that they would take that burden to You. They would find Your comfort, Your strength, Your help. I pray, Lord, that we will see You at work in our lives as we pray what we find right here in Scripture back to You. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.